what we're going to look at is, having understood the Bible's authority, we're going to see that its authority conveys comprehensive blessing to those who read it.
Thank you for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, God's Word in a Godless World. Last time, Don began a message discussing the Bible's comprehensive blessing. He focused on the blessing of joy, but that's only one of five blessings he set out to describe for us. We'll get the other four on today's broadcast. You'll need your Bible and a readiness to receive all God's Word has to say to your soul today. Let's join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
What I want you to see is the principle that long-standing questions in your mind, the Bible is able to restore them. You don't know which passage God is going to use, but you can settle those things, beloved, and live life and move on. That's the point. When we talk about rejoicing the soul, rejoicing the heart, and restoring the soul, we're not talking about just a day-to-day bump. We're talking about actual, sustainable, spiritual growth that answers questions and leaves you permanently changed. That's what we're talking about here. It's not superficial. This is profound. And you would expect profundity from the word that God has given. The eternal mind, the infinite mind of God, did not express himself in superficial ways. Simple and clear, yes. Superficial, absolutely not. And so I hold that up to you as both a challenge and an aspiration. If you know something about long-term discouragement and the depths of profound trials, I hold that up to you as an aspiration so that you would go to God when you're alone after this and say, God, that is what I want. I don't exactly know what he's talking about, but I want that permanent restoration of my soul that would honor you and that would settle this forever in my heart, so that I would trust you so completely that those issues that have bugged me in the past would become permanently secondary. And unless you understand that that is possible, you don't even know to seek it. That's why we're doing this, beloved. In the midst of fatigue or discouragement, the Bible will bring cheer and joy and refreshment to the believer who reads it and meditates upon it. That is a promise that holds true even if your circumstances do not change. Proverbs 18, verse 14 has some interesting insight. I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, "The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it?" What that verse is saying is that we can take adverse circumstances as long as our heart is encouraged and can and feels the joy that God intends for us to know through his word. But if our heart is broken and discouraged, then we can't bear that no matter, even if external circumstances are great. And the promise of the Bible is that it can give strength to your spirit, even so you can endure sickness, whatever that form that sickness may take, in the broad scale, the spiritual scale, or the personal scale. There are rare Christians that you've met over the years who, when you meet them in the midst of circumstances that you know would destroy you, are standing firm. You especially see this if you travel to and talk to Christians that are suffering in other places. And you say, man, if I was in your circumstances, I would be crushed, and yet here is this joy. Well, it's because they have a joy that is stemming from the Scriptures, that is transcending what their external trial is. Beloved, you can triumph over outward trials if your heart is at rest. You can know this peace. You can know that joy that God is holding forth before us in his word. because His Word has the intrinsic power to enable you to live at peace in your circumstances. God uses His authority to bless you as you understand His truth. The prophet Jeremiah, in chapters 9 and 14, he had a very difficult ministry. And he speaks of weeping tears day and night, because of the constant discouragement of the surrounding circumstances, of the sins and the calamity that God had brought upon His people. And yet, he could say in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Jeremiah 15, verse 16, he says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Your words were the joy of my heart. Your words were the delight of my heart. And sometimes we need the purging fire of trials to bring us back to that which our heart truly loves most of all. Now, I would just encourage you to seek that. Seek it from His Word. Seek God in prayer and say, "God, I want that. I haven't known it. I want it. I want to grow. I want to know this joy that it would honor you." Now, there is a second reward. The Bible brings joy. There's a second reward that we can derive from the Scriptures that is found in this passage. Point number two, the Bible brings wisdom. The Bible brings wisdom. Look at the end of verse 7 with me. I love this. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Verse 8, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." It makes wise the simple. It enlightens the eyes. As we saw, there is no question of any significance, no question of eternal significance that can be answered apart from the Bible. I won't bother to rehearse that here. But in this passage, we see that the Bible gives wisdom, get this, to the humblest of believers, so that he can discern truth and live a life that pleases God. It gives wise to the simple. It gives wisdom. It makes wise the simple. Now, let me give you a definition of wisdom here, just briefly. When we talk about wisdom, what are we talking about? Here's a little definition for you to write down if you're taking notes. Wisdom is the skill of being able to understand and apply God's word in your life so that you live in the midst of His will and blessing. Wisdom is the skill. It is a skill. It is the skill of being able to understand and apply God's word in your life so that you live in the midst of His will and blessing. What's so wonderful about this passage is who God says is able to receive this blessing. It is available to the simple. It is available to the humble man. Who can have wisdom? Is it reserved, beloved? I have a question for you. Is this kind of wisdom reserved for theologians who can study the original languages and root their eyes around in obscure and expensive books? Is it limited to experts? No. No, 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 1,000 times no. That travesty of an idea has to be demolished once and for all. Biblical wisdom, God's wisdom for His people, is available to the simple. The Bible enlightens everyone who reads it with a believing heart. Even the inexperienced can find wisdom. It doesn't take a Bible degree to live a wise life. It doesn't take a seminary education to understand God's word and apply it to your life. Now, there have been times in some of my conversations with you and newer Christians where I have been astounded by the clarity of insight that you bring to circumstances in your life. It has astounded me. Where do you get that wisdom? And then I say, oh yeah, you read the Bible. You apply yourself to its truth. And people that are consistently under the teaching of the Bible have a view and understanding and perception of life that transcends what anyone else can bring to it. That's what the Bible does. The believer who faithfully meditates on God's word will have discernment and will have a spiritual confidence to live precisely as God would have him to live that goes beyond his years and training. That isn't limited, beloved, to matters of age. It isn't limited to degrees and attainment in education. It is a matter of a humble heart applying itself to the Word of God, and God dispensing His wisdom through His Word. Let me give you a verse that will nail this down permanently in your mind. Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100. Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100. The psalmist says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. There is age, there are teachers, and the psalmist is saying, I have more insight than all of them, because I meditate on your word. Beloved, listen to me. You, as the humblest of believers, the simplest and newest of Christians, this is your inheritance. This is your birthright. You can know these things. You can be a wise believer if you devote yourself to the Word of God. A young man who applies himself to the Bible will have more wisdom than an old man who neglects it. And for those of you that have gray hair in this room, beloved, it's available to you as well. But don't think that your age by default means that you are wise. Wisdom comes from the Word of God, not simply through chronological advancement. It was David, the youngest son of Jesse, who slew Goliath when the entire army of Israel trembled before the giant. 1 Samuel 17. God and His Word are able to build men up beyond their years and training. Beloved, I want that blessing for you. I ask you and I beg you to seek it by the consistent study and reading of God's Word. That is the only place where this kind of blessing is found. Do you want joy? Do you want wisdom? Go to the Bible every day. As you do, you'll find there are even more benefits to it than just joy and wisdom. Point number three, the Bible brings eternal perspective. The Bible brings eternal perspective. Look at verse 9 with me, where it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. There is this enduring quality about the fear of the Lord, this enduring quality about the truthful judgments of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is when we recognize Him as the holy sovereign of the universe, and we understand that we are sinful creatures before Him, and there is that sense of overwhelming awe, an overwhelming majesty that comes on as we reflect on the greatness of His being. It humbles us before Him because we are in the presence of one so much greater than we are. What David is saying here in this psalm is that true fear of the Lord will stand the test of time as it is fed by the Word of God. And the Word of God brings an eternal perspective to everything that you do and everything that you think about as you are meditating on its precepts. Even the most mundane things of life are lifted to a new level. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's an eternal perspective. My eating, my drinking, whatever I do, walking out of the room after this is over, beloved, you can do that to the glory of God. The Bible feeds that perspective, and without the Bible, that perspective shrivels away. Your entire daily routine can be transformed into something of eternal significance and devotion to God because the Word of God is shaping your thinking. The more you meditate on the Scriptures, the more that happens. That's a blessed thing. And that's why David says the blessing of this joy, this wisdom, this eternal perspective, which feeds and undergirds the fruitful and spirit-filled life. That is why David says in verse 10, look at Psalm 19, verse 10 with me. David says, in light of all of these things, they, meaning the Scriptures, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Gold was a luxury then, as it is now. Honey was the sweetest enjoyment of life. And David says, oh God, your word is worth so much more than the best that this life has to offer. Better than gold, sweeter than honey and the reward that it offers to the believing heart. All of that flowing from a right eternal perspective that only the Bible can give. Now quickly, moving on to point number 4. The Bible brings warning. The Bible brings warning. Now that one might sound a little bit surprising. Warning has kind of an ominous tone to it. Sounds maybe a little bit threatening. But think with me for a little bit as we look at verse 11. He says, moreover, in addition to the fine blessings that this word brings, these positive things of joy that are conveyed through your word, oh God, I understand something else, something moreover. In addition to that, I thank you because by them your servant is warned. The Bible warns us about danger. Now, we shouldn't resist that or be unhappy about that. We should be glad for this, just like we're glad for fences that keep us away from cliffs and warning signs that say danger ahead. The Bible warns us about temptation and the consequences of sin. It warns us about the eternal judgment that waits for sinners who do not repent and put their faith in Christ. It says in no uncertain terms that in hell there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a warning that is designed to motivate the sinner to repentance, to instill in the sinner a fear of God that would cause him to turn away from sin and judgment into the forgiveness and eternal life that is offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible warns us about these things. It warns us even about the consequences of sin in this earthly life and the dangers to our soul. Proverbs 7, for example. Proverbs 7 tells men and instructs men and young men in particular how to see through the temptation that is brought by seductive women, to look past the immediate allure of that moment to see the horrors that lie beyond it, the consequences of descending to the chambers of death. The Bible warns us about those things, gives us a clarity and a perspective about the onslaught of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life that is the environment and the milieu in which we live. The Bible says, here's how you discern your way through that. Here are the consequences of that. Be warned. Avoid that for the sake of your own good. And that perspective keeps a man from following his desires to the tragic consequences that they would otherwise lead him to. You see, beloved, the Bible warns you against sin for your own protection. It's for your own good that the Bible upholds its own authority. It's for your own good that the Bible upholds the character and righteousness of God. It's for your own good that the Bible says, don't pursue a life of sin. Don't waste your life like that and then face eternal judgment. Live to the glory of God now. Know His blessings now, even if there are hardships that accompany that. And then at the end of the road, you look and you will see Christ face to face. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the warning of Scripture keeps you from going off this cliff and leads you by contrast and by motivation to that upward call of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That is a blessing of Scripture, that it would warn us so clearly and so greatly against following the desires of our own heart. It's a benefit that we definitely and deeply need. Joy, wisdom, eternal perspective, warning. David sums it all up in this final point, point number 5. The Bible brings great reward. The Bible brings great reward. This just kind of sums everything up that we've been talking about. Look at the end of verse 11 with me. He had said, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Beloved, the one who, let me put it this way. Beloved, if you will only devote yourself to the study and love of the Scriptures, you will find and discover that God is no man's debtor. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, "To this one I will look," God is speaking, "I will look to him who is contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." God says, I have a particular kind of attention that I pay to the one who trembles at my word, who fears it, who loves it, who obeys it. Question, how would you like to have God on your side? I mean, choose your path and understand this. The sins that you cherish, the hidden sins of your heart, and the private sins that you indulge in thinking that you're getting away with them, those kinds of sins are isolating you and separating you from all of the blessings that we've talked about here today. Because you are not fearing God when you live that way. You are not trembling at His word when you flagrantly pursue sin, despite what God's word says. And all of these blessings are quarantined away from you until you repent. There are great stakes in play with this passage that we are looking at. There is the warning on the one hand. There is the encouragement for the believer who's trying, who's pursuing God's word, but saying, I am about to go under for the last time. Beloved, if that's you, take heart and understand that God's promises will certainly be fulfilled no matter what circumstances look like today. He puts His personal stamp of blessing on anyone who would submit his life to the instruction of the Bible. If that's you, beloved, look beyond the waves and look to the Savior who is standing on the waves and ruling over them and says, I see, I know, and my blessing will certainly be fulfilled. Just persevere. Just be faithful, because I will cause the storm to pass in my own time. Beloved, the Bible is the source of all of these blessings that we've talked about here today and 10,000 more besides. The Bible is what gives this life joy and wisdom. It's what brings the eternal perspective. All to the end, beloved, you should walk out overwhelmed by a staggering sense of the goodness and greatness of God, that He has given you this word for your blessing and for blessing upon His church. God has done this. He intends to communicate and for this to be a channel of blessing in your life. How good is that upon His people? How good is this God who inspired His word? Very good.
The Bible truly brings us comprehensive blessing. But knowing those blessings, what should our response be? Pastor Don Green will answer that question, drawing on the experience of the psalmist David, next time on the Truth Pulpit. Do join us. Well, Don, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here and ask you what you tend to emphasize when you're speaking to an unbeliever about the Bible. Do you use more of the carrot of the blessings that could be theirs, or would you lean more toward the warning of judgment to come?
You know, Bill, we live in a society that is so eager to emphasize the positive and the hopeful things of life and tends away from authority. I think we need to be careful not to let that influence the way we evangelize the lost. We need to remember that Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People need, who have not come to Christ, they need to understand that God is a God to be feared and that His Word has authority. We start by emphasizing those issues, and then when they start to have a tender heart, then we bring to them the promises of peace found in the gospel of Christ.
Thanks, Don. And friend, remember to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about this ministry. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don Green presents more from The Truth Pulpit.